was a strange noise.
I just went
prior to the show. What happened?
I've always loved Fridays.
Yeah.
But you have taught me to love Fridays even more.
Yes.
And well, when I hear that music, it's just, boy, I think of little Bill Left saying, the best day ever invented.
That's my belief, Wendy, is that of all the days invented, and there's seven different ones. Wait, hold on. Two, three, seven. I believe Friday's the best of the ones invented.
Which is the worst?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Interesting, because why?
Well, Monday, you're kind of like, you've had a weekend. It's like, all right, I'm ready to get back to work. By Tuesday, you're like, oh, it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, you're at hump day. Yeah. Thursday is Friday Eve.
Right.
And then you're at Friday again.
I used to think it was Sunday, even though that was a day off. I always believed it. Do you think that, Steve?
It could, if you don't have the right mindset, Sunday could be the worst day.
Yeah.
Sunday, especially when you get up early.
Yes.
On Monday.
Right. Sunday around 4 o'clock is kind of depressing to me.
Yeah.
Because the weekend's coming to a close.
Well, for me, it was, we had to go, my mom made us go to church, and I was not a fan of going to church. So right out of the box, I'm like, oh, it's not starting out well. And then, yes, the realization that the work week is about, or the school week back then, is about to start up again. TV didn't seem to be quite as good back then as it is now.
Monty Python.
You had Monty Python, but you had to wait till 10 o'clock for Monty Python. 10:30.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy, though, that you wait all week for the weekend, and then halfway through the weekend,
right,
you're bummed.
Right.
That's why it needs to be 3 days instead of two.
I am so with you. Didn't the Beatles sing 8 days a week?
Yeah.
Why can't we add another day and make it be a weekend?
I'm all right with that.
Definitely. I'll buy a weekend day for $200, Alex.
What would we call it?
That's the problem.
That's preventing
you gotta,
it from
yeah,
if you it put was it right in the middle and call it fun day.
Fun day.
Well, everybody's doing the Sunday fun day now, and it's like, come on. I'm so sick of Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
I have just had it.
Oh. You know what I saw on the internet, Wendy?
What?
People are mad at Kelly Ripa.
They're ripping her.
They are ripping Ripa. And do you know why?
Yep.
I think it's an interesting reason why.
I think she's right.
She has come out against The Bachelor, and evidently you're not supposed to come out against The Bachelor.
Well, typically, if it's the same network you work on, you usually...
That's the beauty of this.
Yeah.
She's on ABC. The Bachelor's on ABC. They're forcing... The way the network works is you got to promote their shows. So they're forcing Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants on her and on her show. And she doesn't like it, so she keeps blasting it, which I think is great.
It is great until they don't, you know, ask her back. That's the thing.
But she does really, really well for the network. Now, one of the producers of The Bachelor, I'm trying to find the exact quote, but he says, you got to stop doing this because The Bachelor's paying your salary,
right?
Which is not accurate.
It is not accurate, but, you know, if one show does well on the network, then they all do.
Right.
I'm a team player, Bill. I know you have that secret rebel in you.
But don't you kind of give her, like, a couple of points for going, you're being true to yourself, they're forcing this on you, you want no part of it, so good for you for standing up and going, this show's crap. Good for you.
You love that in a person. You really
do. I love that in a person.
That's what she stands up for in her life, and that she stood up against The Bachelor.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm with her because I stopped watching it this season.
You gave up on it finally, Mary?
I finally given up. I'm like, why am I watching this crap? I mean, it's like, ugh. I don't like the new Bachelorette. So,
but she's not complaining specifically about one particular. She's saying
it's creepy.
The whole concept.
Here's her quote: "I can't stand the idea of 25 exceptional women fighting over one ordinary fella. In my opinion, and you know how I feel, ladies, we are too special to be arguing over a guy." So, all right, that's one thing you could criticize the show for. You could also criticize it for the fact that it's kind of prostitution.
Well,
isn't it?
They're not saying they have to, you know, make whoopee.
But they want them to. They're leading them toward that.
When they go to the fantasy suites.
When they go to the fantasy suites, that's what they want. The other thing you could criticize them for is their success rate, which is horribly low. It says The Bachelor has been airing for 23 seasons.
It's been on
since 2002. You've had 23 seasons of The Bachelor. How many, Wendy, how many couples out of those 23 seasons do you believe are still together?
One.
Two.
Oh,
no,
two out of 23.
More than that.
Well, they say if you count in The Bachelorette, six of the couples are still together.
If you count, I thought you were counting both. You're counting the
Bachelor only, two out of 23. But if you throw in Bachelorette, six couples are still together.
Yeah, is Kelly equally upset about The Bachelorette?
I think, it doesn't say, Steve.
Mm.
Well,
I don't
want to
put words
be.
In her mouth.
I mean, it's kind of the whole thing.
And who cares if they don't? I mean, it's technically a game show slash reality show. So, I mean, you date people and you didn't marry everyone you dated. So,
no, I did. I dated one girl. I married one girl.
What are you, Donny Osmond?
Yes. But they're selling the idea, if you're a fan of the show, they're selling the idea of two people who met through some crazy circumstance and will spend the rest of their life in love with each other. But then the proof is in the pudding in that, no, only twice has that happened out of 23. That's horrible.
What do you say to WGN Morning News reporter Nancy Liu, whose son is going on The Bachelorette?
Don't do it, Nancy Liu's son.
He's on there right now.
Yeah. No, he is. Too late.
He's 28 years old. And I got to be honest with you, and I have not watched any of these ever.
Yeah.
I just haven't. But what's the difference between The Bachelor and The Bachelorette?
Well, it's easy. Go on, Mira.
I mean, on The Bachelorette, you have one bachelorette with 26 guys or 30 guys, and the opposite for The Bachelor.
Which was the first show to come?
Bachelor was first.
Bachelor was around for a while, and then The Bachelorette. And the funny thing is, my daughter-in-law and my son's girlfriend are the ones that got me hooked on this show. Then they quit watching it. And then I'm stuck watching it. And then I'm like, wait, I'm stopping too. So now I just stop.
But don't you feel, Mary, it's highly manipulated? Don't you feel that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the way it's edited, it's very manipulated. Yeah.
What's this?
It has to be. It's a reality show.
You said the guys, the woman, tell me about this fantasy show.
Steve just wants to know about the fantasy. The rest doesn't matter.
At the end, it's down to like three girls or three guys, depending on whether it's The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And they have the option of, they go on this all-day date. And then what's his name? I forgot the guy's name now. I can't.
No, but I'm asking about the fantasy suite. So The Bachelor is encouraged to sleep with all these women in the fantasy suite?
No, yes.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
All of them, just the final three. Oh, they have a choice whether to take it.
Well, they don't have to consummate the fake relationship.
Sometimes they don't. They just talk all night.
My question is, do they do the same thing for the woman in The Bachelorette, that she is sleeping around with these different guys?
Yes.
Interesting.
My cousin by marriage, Jamie Blythe, was on he was a finalist on the first season of The Bachelorette.
He was actually on my show way back then.
Yes, he has written a book about anxiety, and I watched that just because he was a cousin-in-law.
Right.
But I didn't even watch the whole thing. I watched the end, and I've never looked at either show since then.
Yeah. But don't you think it's kind of dirty? Don't you feel kind of grimy knowing that that's the game? Is that they're not forcing anybody to sleep with anybody, but they're saying, well, it's part of the fun. You can learn more about them this way.
Well, I watch Big Brother, and they sometimes have showmances where the camera's on and shows them in bed.
Yeah.
That's too much for me.
Yeah.
But they don't let the camera go in the fantasy suites. That's the whole point
Until
of it.
Steve takes over ABC. Then it'll all change.
Except Steve's in there.
right.
His spy cam.
We must take a break. There's so much on today's show. No time to tell you. Just pay attention. It's coming.
And can I just tell you, if you have a plant question, hop on the line right now, 312-981-7200, because we're going to talk to Stacy Hervella from Proven Winners. And it is planting season. I know it's raining and ugly, but I plan on planting this season. And if you have questions, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on 720. All right, it's planting season. I know we have a lot of rain, and I hope things dry up a little bit, because I have a bunch of Proven Winter shrubs sitting on my patio table that are ready to be put in the ground tomorrow. On the line with us is Proven Winter's shrub specialist, Stacy Hervella. Stacy, how are you?
I'm doing great. It is prime time planting season, so I couldn't be any happier. How about you guys?
Bill's wife does some planting. Bill, you don't, right?
I do not, but we got her some of your products, some of your Proven Winners for Mother's Day, and she was thrilled.
Oh, good.
I got to tell you, these are the best plants ever. I didn't really have a green thumb. I'm starting to have one now, and they're so sturdy. I was talking with Stacy. I don't like pink flowers. I really don't.
No?
There is this At Last rose that is orange. It is the most beautiful color I have ever seen. And there are shrubs that we can plant. Talk part sun or part shade, because I don't know where to put these.
Right, you know, that's one of the things that I know people do get confused about when they see those things on the tag, part sun, part shade, full sun. So, you know, I wanted to briefly break that down for people. So a full sun plant, a plant that wants full sun, that means a minimum of 6 hours of sun each day. That would be considered full sun. If it's got more than that, no problem. But a minimum of 6 hours is what you're looking at for full sun. Now, the real tricky thing is a lot of people don't realize this, but part sun and part shade generally are interchangeable, and it's just a matter of who is using them. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're different. They both basically imply that you need 4 to 6 hours of sun through the day, or it can also just be kind of like a bright location all day without direct sun. That would qualify for a part sun or part shade location. So if you see that on a plant tag and you're like, well, this one says part sun and this one says part shade, which one do I choose? Know that they're interchangeable and they both mean about 4 to 6 hours a day. And shade, of course, is less than 4 hours a day. That does limit your options, but there still are some great things that you can plant in shade.
Give some examples of the shade ones, because I have a very dark part of my backyard.
Yeah, that's, you know, definitely it's harder for things to grow there, but probably the most shade-tolerant shrub is also one of the most handsome, and that is boxwood. You know, boxwood is planted all over the city, and that's for a reason. It's because it's very tough, and it does really well in shade. Now, some people do have problems with boxwood having some damage through winter, but you can avoid that by having a good layer of mulch on it, especially when you go into winter. And boxwood can grow in anywhere from full shade to full sun and look fantastic. It's plain green. It doesn't really get any showy flowers or anything like that, but, you know, it's better than nothing. It's better than just having a blank, shady spot. Another great choice is dogwood. So most dogwoods do tolerate shade pretty well, but especially those red twig varieties that you see just having those red twigs in the winter, those are also very shade tolerant and native plants.
And very pretty.
If you have sun, no, you can grow just about anything. So that rose we were just talking about, Atlas Rose, that's going to want full sun, so a minimum of 6 hours. And with something like a rose, planting it in full sun will give you the most flowers and the best disease resistance, because all of the roses that are in the Proven Winners line have been selected especially to resist, you know, any kind of like fungal diseases and ugly foliage and all of that thing that other roses get. But they do need full sun really for that best performance and best health.
Stacey, Wendy has a shady backyard, but she also has a shady past. Is there anything you tell her for that?
All right. Stacey, Jeff, you just mentioned boxwood, so this times in perfectly. But, Jeff, we don't have a lot of time. Your question for Stacey?
Yes, I was just saying, at least in the western suburbs, I've seen all the boxwood have been kind of burned or browned. Will they come back at all, or do you need to replace them?
So it depends on how severe the damage is, but they can come back. So what I would do is try to care for them, maybe give them a little fertilizer. Any kind of flowering shrub fertilizer, like a rose fertilizer, is fine. Mulch them, water them, and if they don't show signs of life, probably within the next 2 weeks, see new growth coming out, you're going to have to replace them.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
And quickly, Nick has a question about his Japanese maple. Nick?
Ooh, all right.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. For some odd reason, I had this Japanese maple for like 3 years, and it's been beautiful. And now it seems like this year, the whole trunk seems like it all split.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, there's a lot of buds, but none of them are green.
Right. So Japanese maple has smooth bark, and that is very susceptible to breaking and cracking from frost. So the sun warms up the bark in the winter, and then it freezes at night, and that will cause cracking. And Japanese maples are unfortunately very susceptible to that. So hopefully it's going to be okay, but I would say the same thing I just told the last caller. If you don't see signs of life in about the next 2 weeks, unfortunately, the winter probably did it in, and that does happen. You have to be careful, picking Japanese maples for Midwestern gardeners, because they're not all equally tolerant of our winters.
Good luck to you, Nick. We appreciate it. Stacy is the shrub specialist over at Proven Winners. You know the containers, the white containers with the green letters and the P and the W. And we have a contest going on right now. If you go to WGNradio.com/contests, what can people register to win?
They're going to win a package with all of our shrubs of the year. So they're going to be 1 gallon plants of Atlas Rose, which you just mentioned, Firelight Hydrangea, Sonic Bloom White Gila, and Lowscape Mound Aronia. So it's a great package, really useful, versatile plants that are going to look great in a garden.
Stacey, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. You too. Happy planting, everyone.
Oh, thank you. I cannot wait.
Stacy Hervala from Proven Winners.
Yes.
Yes. All right. In a little while, the news, and then Charles Tillman, the peanut, joins us.
I bet he gardens.
Yeah.
I bet he does.
I'm sure. Yeah.
God, this brings me back to high school.
Sure.
Sail away.
Mm-hmm. Set
an open call. Sitting in my basement during a snowstorm, no school, playing euchre.
Oh.
Euchre?
Euchre.
The guy who does the Milwaukee Brewer games?
No. Never played euchre?
No.
It's a card game, right?
It's more of a rural sport. Yeah. Yeah.
I was probably playing Spin the Bottle when this song came out. Euchre?
Was
Didn't even know her.
Wow.
I don't feel well.
We have a guest. We introduce him.
Charles Peanut Tillman, ladies and gentlemen, former Chicago Bear star and builder of boats.
Peanut!
Peanut, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
We miss you.
Or how are you all doing? Because it's a guy girl, so how are you doing?
We are doing great. The collective guys is cool with me. I don't care that you say that.
Yeah.
Last time you came up to the studio, do you remember what you did, where you parked? You came up to our studio on Michigan Avenue. You couldn't find parking, so there's a little turnaround on Michigan Avenue, and you just left your car there, didn't you?
I did, and it didn't get towed, and I didn't get a ticket. Thank God.
For a half an hour. If I even think about that, they tow my car. I don't even have to do it. They just take my car away from me. You're amazing.
Hey, man, I was testing my luck, so hopefully the city of Chicago doesn't find me now that I'm admitting to my fault for illegally parking there. But
oh, the limitations are all over with. You don't have to worry about that. So a lot's happened since we talked to you last. You're now an FBI agent? What's up with that?
No comment. I can't say nothing about that.
Oh.
I'm talking about the boat.
All right. Well, let's talk about the boat. A lot's happened since we talked to you last. You got this boat you built. Tell us about that.
Well, I am a man of many talents, and boat building is in one of them. So I can't build, but I got a good friend of mine. His name's Jake Beckley. He's like, let's build a boat. Let's row across Lake Michigan. And I said, yeah, man, let's do it. I'm game for it. He's doing it for a great cause. So am I, doing it for my Cornerstone Foundation. He's doing it for the Beckley Foundation, which together, when you add them up, is Roll for Kids. Roll for Kids at number4.com.
Charles, how big of a boat are we talking about?
It's about 25 feet long, five feet wide.
It's a good size boat.
You guys do any boating?
I've been on a boat. I don't boat myself. Is there like a downstairs area, or is this just an open boat?
Just an open boat. I wish it had a downstairs. I wish it had a downstairs, you know, maybe a little stove.
Right.
But no, it's just an open boat. It's just a one big, giant, massive rowboat.
Is there a fore and an aft?
Yeah. How could you have a boat if it didn't have a fore? Or
is there a starboard and that other side that isn't starboard?
Yeah, starboard, left and right. Yeah. Southeast, west side of the boat. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Now, Charles, do you know all those shipping terminology? Or, you know, I don't know them at all.
Aft is back, forward is front, starboard
and bow.
Port is the left, starboard is right.
Yeah. All right.
All right. That's pretty good.
You're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, I get him confused, but I figured it out.
Do you have a sea captain's hat?
I don't.
You don't?
Maybe y'all need to give me one.
You got
to
get one.
I don't have a sea captain's hat. I don't have any hats. I have like a bear's hat or something like that.
All right. A lot of guys.
Give me one of those, the love boat hats, though.
Yeah. Captain Steubing.
Yeah, we'll get you one of those.
What was the black dude's name? Isaac?
Yeah, Isaac the bartender. Ted Lange.
Yeah, that was my guy. I'm going to get one of those outfits.
You should get one of those guys, a bartender, on your little boat.
Yeah.
When I'm done. I don't think you can sail across Lake Michigan or row across Lake Michigan inebriated. I don't think that's wise.
That's absolutely true.
Charles, does someone have to, like, once you're done building the boat, does somebody have to come and test it to make sure that it's seaworthy, or does that not happen?
Yeah, we do. We
make
sure it doesn't sink.
Right, that's really it.
If it sinks, it's not seaworthy. It's kind of that simple. If it floats, hey, you're good. If it's not.
All right, now have you started this boat? Are you finished with it? What's going on?
It's painted. It's getting painted right now. Probably in about a week.
Cool.
Does it have
it
a fun?
Be in the water. It should be in the water in about a week.
Do you have a fun boat name on it? Did you name it?
I don't.
Oh, you got to come up with a name.
I don't have a name. So we did some, you know, through social media and all that, we took a survey, and I think people came up with the name Journey or Hope. I think those were the two names that people like the most, Hope and Journey. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Those are very inspirational. Wendy, what would you go with?
You got to do some peanuts sometime.
Peanut shell, something like that.
Oh, I like that. The peanut shell.
Yeah.
But I'm not the only...
I know. All right, Jacob Beckley is there, too, yeah.
The peanut shell and Jacob.
Jake's there, so I got to incorporate some with him because, you know, we're a team.
Right.
One band, one sound.
That makes sense.
Who do you think is going to row more? Who do you think is going to work harder on this, you or Jacob Beckley?
Oh, man. I hope to God I'm wrong about this, but I hope he does.
Oh, all right.
I hope he does.
All right. Now, this is to raise money.
I hope it goes so smooth. I really do.
The Charles Tillman Cornerstone Foundation and the Beckley Foundation. And you're going to raise money so that your foundation can help more people, more sick children, more families. How long is this journey you're going to be on?
This journey will be about 20 hours.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
The journey is 20 hours, and everything we've done thus far has been Jake and myself with few volunteers, family, friends, and stuff like that, my kids. When I say we bootstrapped this whole thing, we literally did everything from scratch, everything. Designing the boat, building the boat, shaping the boat, cutting the boat, sanding it, epoxying it, fiberglass. It's him and myself. We truly, this was... a bootstrapping from the ground up project.
How did you know to do? Did you read books? Did you go to YouTube videos? How did you know what to do when?
So there's a lot of YouTube videos. Thank you, YouTube, whoever you are, whoever created it. You are a godsend. I love you forever. You have a special place in my heart.
Al Gore.
Yeah, and Jake. Jake, he's a savant. I mean, he's the master of nothing and the jack of trade of everything.
You know,
he can do some of everything.
You got the fathers and sons that build the Pinewood Derbies and stuff. This is way beyond that. And something that's kind of interesting, aren't you afraid of the water?
I am.
Oh.
So I have a pool. I like to swim, but it's a pool, right? Yeah. It's not a damn lake.
Right. True.
So I'm scared of what lives in water.
I am so with you. All the creepy things underneath the water.
Everybody in Chicago think I'm a damn fool, but I'm telling you, man, there's a bull shark in Lake Michigan. I don't know. I don't want to be the first brother to get bit by the shark, so it ain't going to be me. You won't see me swimming in Lake Michigan, but it's a bull shark in Lake Michigan. I've seen it on the internet. I've seen it on Shark Week.
So
because it's
real. It's
on the internet and Shark Week. It's got to be real.
Yeah, they're not going to bite you, and it's not as big as a great white or anything. Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, is more people die from bull sharks than gray whites. Okay.
Oh.
I look like I'm pretty tasty. They like dark meat from what I hear. So I don't know. People, when they go get bit by bull sharks, I don't know. I think they like dark meat, so I'm not going to find out.
All right. I look like I'm pretty tasty is probably the best quote
of the
you've
year.
Ever made.
Yeah. Yep.
I look like I'm pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Put it on a t-shirt. Would you wear it?
Yes,
I look like
I would.
I'm pretty tasty. Then have a shark.
How do we
and
find
have a black guy's face? I look like I'm pretty tasty. I don't know. Maybe we got a new campaign going. Hashtag I look like I'm pretty tasty.
Maybe. That'll work. We're talking to Charles Tillman, the very tasty Charles Tillman. Charles, I must by law ask you, were you surprised at what you saw from the Chicago Bears last season, and what do you expect from them next season?
I was a little shocked, but I'm glad they did it, and I expect to see more. I expect to see them to get past the first round.
Yeah.
You know, I have high expectations just like they do. The biggest thing about having a successful season is building upon that. A lot of people rely and focus on what happened last season as much as the players do. But last season was last season.
was going to be a new team in the Super Bowl, new everything, new coaches. So you got to focus on the now, not last year. This year you got to build new success, build off of last year's, but you got to move forward and move on and create that new identity.
You know, I'm born and bred here, grew up in Brookfield, and I've always been a Bears fan, and it's been pretty tough to be a Bears fan the last few years, but I'm feeling hopeful, and I'm very excited about this upcoming season.
I think everyone should be excited about this upcoming season. We got great coaches. They have great coaches. I'm a fan like y'all, so I'm not part of the team. So they have a great coaching staff. I've met them. The general manager is doing a really good job. They got a new house hall. The team seems to be fired up. I think the biggest thing really is just keeping momentum. You know, you just got to keep the momentum going. And right now, the team, the town, the state, Bear fans worldwide are behind them. That's a lot of momentum. So right now, it's really just up to the players because they got the support from the town.
Somebody has texted in that your boat should be called Pretty Tasty.
Oh, that's not bad.
Ooh, okay.
That's really strong.
You know what? I like that. That's going to go in the queue. Pretty Tasty.
All right, there you go.
Charles, did you enjoy this experience enough to where somebody said, let's build a bigger boat? Would you be involved in that, or would you say, no, it's one of those things I did once, I'm fine?
You know what? Ask me that question when I'm done with this row.
All right.
Ask me when I'm done, because I might just say, no, I'm definitely going to do it again. Or I might just look at you and say, man, you out your rabbit mind. You a damn fool. There ain't no way in this world I'm doing that again.
All right. That's fair.
All right. For 20 hours, you're going to be on this big boat. What are you going to do when you have to go to the bathroom? Do you get a little break time or something to, you know, restock the goods and use the facilities?
Well, I'm thinking I can restock my goods, but if I don't have to go in the, how can I word this appropriately for the radio? If I don't have to, exchange hard items.
Right, I gotcha.
I can just go in the liquid section. I think I'll be okay.
Oh,
All right.
Tactfully said. We read that all the way through.
And you're wearing life jackets, I'm sure, correct?
Oh, most definitely. Right. Most definitely.
Thank you.
We got life jackets. There's a chase boat. There's, like, we're doing this the real deal Holyfield. We're not bull crapping.
No, you're bull sharking.
We are bull sharking.
We wish you the best of luck. When is this happening? When do you take off? When do you set sail?
We are going to try and set sail sometime in August.
Oh.
Should be warm by
then. The hottest time of the year, Charles.
Well, that's the best time of the year to row, the weather and the lake.
Yeah.
I can't give you an exact date because I don't know what Lake Michigan is going to be doing in August, but I'm hoping she cooperates with us. You know, Mother Nature is a beast. She's undefeated right now.
Right.
So she's mad at us.
She can cooperate with us.
All right.
Hopefully.
You can go to row4kids, row4kids.com. I'm on it right now. You can make a donation. And again, raising money for the Beckley Foundation and the Charles Tillman Cornerstone Foundation. We wish you the best of luck.
Yeah. Good luck on this.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. Love coming on y'all's show. Y'all two are the best.
Oh, thank you, Charles. Anytime.
Come by and see us.
Yep.
I will. I'll park in that spot again.
All right. That's fair. Thank you, Charles. Right. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
Charles Tillman, everybody. The Peanut.
I love him so much.
Yep.
Pretty Tasty.
Now, is he not allowed to talk? Somebody
I don't know what
said,
happened. Right. I didn't mean to get
no,
on his
no,
bad
no,
side.
No, 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 no. Because there was a time where he did want to talk about it, but I think maybe somebody involved, for those of you who don't know, he may or may not be doing work with the FBI, but he's not supposed to talk about it, obviously. And you've been through that. You know what that's like.
I'm not an ambush interviewer, though.
No.
There was no way I thought it's like, hey.
Right.
Everything's up in the air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Usually is when
we
talk to him.
I know.
Love him.
All right, we'll take a break, and then there's more show. Don't forget your chance to win WHO tickets coming up before we're done at noon, so stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We do have a pair of tickets. It's our final pair of tickets to see The Who. They will be in town on Tuesday. We cannot tell you legally what time the contest is at, But it'll be at 11:35, so listen in at 11:35.
And our last pair of tickets to give away to The Who, it's the Moving On 2019 tour. It is happening at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. The band Rainwolf, Bill, is opening
Rainwolf. I'm only going to see Rainwolf, Wendy. I'm heading out after they're done.
Is the contest to name, well, I'm sure it's not, so I'll say this.
What? What? You can ask?
To name all the different names that the...
What?
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater has had, and it's like,
oh, that's a great contest.
That's really great for the sponsor, but you know, you're right. I just
they
know
had a couple different names.
It's the outdoor venue in Tinley Park. I've been going there.
Yeah,
it's a far drive for me all the way down LaGrange
Road. It was the World Theater for a while, right? Yeah.
I don't remember what it started. The World Theater was not its first name, I don't think.
I thought it was originally the Coliseum.
No, it wasn't.
No?
Popular Creek?
No, that was Poplar Creek. I remember that.
Yeah.
I saw the Go-Go's there and Johnny B.
Oh. I saw Elton John there.
Poplar was, what, Hoffman Estates? Is that where that was?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so this is the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, and The Who will be there with a full orchestra.
And Rainwolf, Wendy.
I might be late.
Oh. Who's in the office, right?
Yes. Yes.
What?
Rainn Wilson.
Oh, question.
Yes. Yes.
Question.
All right, so we'll give you a shot at winning our last pair of tickets to see The Who live in action on Tuesday. That's coming up. Bill can't tell you when, but when?
11:35, Wendy, but we've been asked to not say that on the air.
All right. Are you an FBI agent?
Yes, I am an FBI agent.
Can I tell you how much I love Peanut?
He's great. And I have an idea for him that I always want to throw at him, but it's stupid, so I don't know how he'd react to it. But he had a signature move when he played football. Do you know what his signature move was?
The peanut punch.
The peanut punch. So a guy with the ball would be running past him, and he would not only tackle him, but he'd punch the ball out of their hands. Why don't they have a drink? Why isn't he behind a drink called Peanut Punch?
And punch is very popular.
Yeah, people love punch.
Hawaiian punch is no longer.
Oh, no.
I think it's gone.
Is that
so
gone?
The peanut punch should take
There's
over.
There's an opening in the
punch department?
What in the punch department.
What would it taste like, though? Peanut butter punch?
You wouldn't have to put peanuts in it, Steve. I'm still working on it.
Name.
Still working on the recipe.
Could just be regular punch, regular, but call it the peanut
with his
punch.
Face on it, yeah.
I like it.
All right. Good.
Get Peanut back on the phone,
Please
Jasmine.
Get him back on, Jazz.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It is all happening right here on a Friday, 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Don't forget, we have a pair of tickets to see The Who, and we will give it away sometime between now and noon. Make sure you're listening. You can win Who tickets. Every Friday, Alexander Zelbin joins us. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. It's a great website if you like television, if you like entertainment. Alexander, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Excited to talk to you. There's so much going on in the world of television. Let's start out with some of the shows that have either ended this week or are about to end. We must start with Game of Thrones. The last episode ever of Game of Thrones is on Sunday. You must be excited.
Yeah, I think everybody is excited, nervous, scared, all of these different emotions at the same time. There's been a lot of mixed reactions to the last couple of episodes, which partially is expectations, partially the story not going in the direction that people wanted it to go. But a lot of people have also taken issue with the execution, where the show took its time for seven seasons. This eighth season almost seems to be rushing through a lot of big character moments, which is leaving some fans, not all fans, but some fans very disappointed. So there's a lot of expectations going into this. Nobody knows at all how it's all going to end. It's probably going to be heartbreaking, maybe a little uplifting. But one thing that's been consistent over this season and all the seasons, it's a visual spectacle unlike anything that has ever been on TV and maybe never will be on TV again.
Have you seen the petition? Now, there's a petition that so far over 500,000 people have signed saying that they want to redo on this entire season. They're not happy with the way it's played out. Have you seen this at all? Yeah, what do you think of
it? I have seen this, and I'm sure it's going to go through and it's going to work out for them, and good luck to them rewriting the season of the show. These sort of petitions happen a lot. They happen with Star Wars as well, with The Last Jedi, when some fans were upset about that. It's not going to happen. I think somebody I saw online put this very well, that of course people are going to complain about endings and plot points. That's part and parcel. You discuss it, you criticize it, you talk about what was good or bad. But telling people to rewrite and redo something just because you didn't like it, that's
doesn't happen.
The point of art a little bit. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Since we last talked, I found out that the show I love and Mark Hamill loves, The Kids Are All Right, was not renewed. It is heartbreaking, and there's such a huge fan base. The ratings actually kept up, even though it was announced it was canceled. So there's this big campaign and an online presence where people are trying to get another network to pick it up. I was heartbroken. It's a great show.
I think I immediately thought of you when I saw that come through, because I think it was right after I got off the air with you guys.
Yeah.
They announced the cancellation of the show after I had said, I don't know what'll happen. And I felt personally responsible.
Oh, come on.
But to your point, that is the sort of fan campaign, that is the sort of petition and type thing that can actually work, because what it does is it doesn't show the current network that the interest is there, because that current network has always passed. But if for streaming services like, say, a Hulu or even potentially a Netflix that are looking for less viewers than a mainstream broadcast network, getting a large chunk of people to say, hey, we will watch this show eagerly, can potentially give it a second life.
And what happened with Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Didn't that get canceled and it came back?
Oh, yeah, from one network, yeah. From
so another
Fox.
And Last Man Standing.
Yeah, it's happened a lot last season. I haven't seen it as much happen this season, though. We just finished Upfronts Week, where they present the new schedules here in New York. So it's possible some of those canceled shows may see a second life in the next week or two, because there sometimes is a very fast turnaround like that. But that was the big story last year. There was definitely a lot of cancellations and a lot of quick pickups. But a lot of the network schedules stayed very even this year, despite those cancellations. There's not a lot of new shows, not a ton of cancellations. So there's certainly less room there. And while Netflix and Hulu and Prime Video move into their own original programming, there's also a little less space there for that sort of thing. So we'll have to see what happens.
Why are the upfronts called the upfronts?
Because they're honest and open about it. I actually don't know. It's the chance for all of the advertisers to come to New York, get wined and dined, told why their network is the absolute best to advertise with. The big glitzy parties. I got as press to go to a couple of these presentations, and it's wild what happens with them. The last one was the CW presentation. They opened up with a performance by the Jonas Brothers, which I could not believe was happening. It was at the Fox presentation. We played The Masked Singer live. And the winner, somebody in the crowd, won two tickets to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So this is the sort of thing they're doing. They're saying, whatever you do, advertise with our network. We are absolutely the best. But as for why it is called that, I honestly do not know.
Of the shows that were announced, Alexander, that will not be coming back, of course, we mentioned Wendy's favorite, The Kids Are All Right. A couple that surprised me. The first one, Life in Peace, is over on CBS, 4 seasons old. Mm-hmm. Very, very funny show. Very similar to Modern Family, only they take more chances. Were you shocked to see that one go?
Yeah, it was a surprise. CBS tends to stay very even in terms of their programming.
Yeah.
But they're in a place now where just last night, The Big Bang Theory ended, and that was one of the biggest shows on TV, if not the biggest show on TV. Even bigger, frankly, than Game of Thrones at certain points. And so they're, I think, looking for what are those big hits? What are those solid hits? And Life in Peace was very good. People really liked it, but it was sort of trucking along in the middle. And I think what they're looking for are those breakout hits like a Big Bang Theory or their procedurals, which do very, very well.
The other one that surprised me that it got the axe was Speechless on ABC.
Yes.
That's a really good show. What do you think happened?
Yeah, that was a huge bummer. I think it just didn't have the audience. It was a great show. It had a lot to say. It was very funny. And like with Kids All Right, it had a very devoted audience. But particularly for a show that's a couple of seasons in, there's even less of a chance of a network taking a chance on it if it's just trucking along on the bottom of the ratings. Because first season, you could say, okay, maybe it'll improve in season two after people have streamed it. But once you enter those later seasons, it doesn't quite work the same way.
Yeah, sure.
You gave me a suggestion, and Bill, the last time we spoke, State of the Union, which is on the Sundance Channel. It's a couple going through some marital strife, if you will, and they meet at a pub 10 minutes before they go to their therapy session. And so each episode is 10 minutes long. I binged it. I watched it all. I totally love it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you like it. It's one of those ones, I'm glad you found it, too, because our reviewer, Leah Palmieri, was saying, even though she loved the show, it stars, by the way, for the fans that checked it out, Chris O'Dowd and Rosamund Pike are the couple in it, so they're pretty much the focus of everything. But because it's on Sundance Channel, it's a little tricky to find, but definitely urge people to check it out. It's a fun show, and it's a really quick binge because every episode is only 10 minutes
long. It's awesome. Oh, wow. And I think there are only 8, maybe 9 of them. And you can, I just downloaded the Sundance app, and then you can go through your cable provider, and it was included. Oh. So,
all right. That's doable. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and come back with more talk about entertainment. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Alex Zelbin's our guest, managing editor of Decider.com, a great website. Alex, you mentioned Big Bang Theory's last episode last night, and Veep had their last episode last Sunday. Mm-hmm. What did you think of those two series finales? Were you, did you think they lived up to the snuff or not?
The Veep finale was perfect, absolutely perfect. They completely nailed it, had some of the funniest moments in the episode, went in directions that I did not predict at all, and gave pretty much a perfect end to every single character on the show. I loved it. I saw somebody make this joke online, but of the two women that totally torched all of their relationships on HBO that night, the other being Daenerys on Game of Thrones, Veep actually did it the right way. And I think that was the correct take. Big Bang Theory, I was actually busy while it was going on, but I was trying to monitor what people's reactions were on Twitter. And it seemed like everybody was very happy with the finale. They were happy with how it ended. The one moment that actually really got me, and I was not the biggest Big Bang Theory fan in the world, but young Sheldon afterwards, this is, I guess, a little bit of a spoiler, but end of the episode with the actor plays young Sheldon talking about, am I always going to be alone? Why am I like this? Why am I different from everybody else? I hope that I think it's always going to be this way. And then they flash to all the other kids from The Big Bang Theory, all these actors playing them as kids, all on their own as well, and hoping to find each other someday. And that clip is actually on the Young Sheldon Twitter. Even if you don't watch the shows, I recommend checking it out, because as a young nerd growing up, it certainly hit me in the feels, so to speak.
Well, CBS did something brilliant. Whenever they were promoting the last episode of Young Sheldon, they would say, and an ending that every Big Bang Theory fan is going to want to see. So it made you curious, certainly, and to make it pay off that way, good for them.
Yeah, they did a really nice job with the whole night. They had the hour-long finale of Big Bang Theory. They had a half-hour tribute to the show, and then they had the episode of Young Sheldon. So if you're a fan of, I guess it's a franchise now, if you're a fan of the franchise, you had 2 solid hours of entertainment to enjoy with the family.
I love New Amsterdam, and I know that that was renewed. And I just have to tell you that this week's season finale was the most intense and shocking ending of a series I think I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
It was just really not what I expected, and it was outstanding. It's been a long time since I was that excited where I had to rewind five times to try and figure out something.
Wow.
But it was really good if you're into that.
That's a show that people have really, really been responding to. And as we've talked a lot about, it's tough to break through in the current TV atmosphere because there are so many different things going on. But that's a show that's very quickly built into being appointment television. And that's great to hear.
Bill, I thought of you because I saw a promo. Press Your Luck is coming back.
Oh, it is.
Do you know this, the game show?
No, I didn't know that. Wow.
Who will be hosting it, but that was a show that was on when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And I find it startling that it's coming back. Well, it wasn't a top-rated show, was it?
I don't think it was.
And Lauren Cohan from The Walking Dead is probably disappointed that Whiskey and Cavalier was not renewed.
Yeah, they're apparently looking around for a new home for Whiskey Cavalier as well. I don't expect that it'll necessarily get picked up anywhere because that show never really caught on. As for Lauren Cohen's future on The Walking Dead, the door was definitely open for her to return the show. I don't know if she will or on the upcoming season or anything like that, but it's certainly a possibility.
A television version of Catch-22, which has been not only a best-selling novel, but it was a great movie years and years ago, with a pretty good cast, including George Clooney. Have you seen this already, Alex?
You know, I have seen a bit of it, and some of my writers have seen more. We were a little disappointed. I think the cast, as you mentioned, is great. George Clooney directs, produces, and co-stars in it. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is in it. Hugh Laurie, bunch of other amazing actors. At least from the bit I saw, and I love the novel, I feel like it seemed very stilted. It didn't quite capture the comedy of the book in the same way. So it's on Hulu today, so you can watch the whole thing. It is a miniseries, so it is eminently bingeable. And if you like the actors, you'll probably enjoy that. The production design is great on it. It's in a setting in World War II. But I personally was not in love with it.
Oh, that's too bad. That's very disappointing. Yeah. I'm still going to watch, but I'm disappointed to hear that.
Right.
Fleabag. What is Fleabag?
This is on Prime Video today. It is a series from Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is the creator of Killing Eve. And this is the second season of the show. It's based on a one-person show about an absolutely terrible woman who sleeps around, gets drunk all the time, wrecks every relationship in her life. The first six episodes of the first season were some of the most brilliant of TV I have ever seen. They're hilarious. They're devastating at the same time. It did not need a second season at all. They made a second season anyway, which is what's out today. It's absolutely brilliant. It's already best of the year in terms of TV. It brings in, it gives her a little bit of character development beyond where she was before. Brings in Andrew Scott, who people might recognize as Moriarty from Sherlock, from that series, as a priest who kind of has a little bit of a romantic thing with her. But it's so creative, so devastating. Cannot recommend it highly enough.
It's called Fleabag, and it's on Prime Video. And then Spike Lee has a movie for Netflix called See You Yesterday.
Yeah, this is produced by Spike Lee, and he helped usher it along with a new director from his short film to a full-fledged feature. Our reviewer, Anna Menta, saw it and really liked it a lot. The concept sounds like it shouldn't work. It's about two Brooklyn teens who invent a time machine in order to undo a wrongful police shooting, which sounds like it should be very serious, and the two sides, the sci-fi side and the more serious side, should clash. But it's creative, it's interesting, it's even fun at points. Definitely check this one out, and that's on Netflix today.
And then, Alex, we had three prominent deaths from the world of show business, all kind of TV related. Doris Day is best known for her movie work, but she had a long-running sitcom called The Doris Day Show. Peggy Lipton, of course, from Mod Squad, and the great Tim Conway. And I've said this before, it's always sad when you lose a giant like Tim Conway, whose value isn't really understood or talked about until we lose him. But the outpouring of people saying, boy, this is one of the funniest guys of all time, and it's right, it's too bad that it came too late for him to see, you know?
Yeah, he is, to your point, one of those actors that had an incredible career through so many different things, but never really became a household name in the way that some of his other contemporaries did. One of my favorite takes, and I know I'm biased, but one of our writers, Brett White, is an old man in a young man's body and is obsessed with Match Game, and put up this really great thing about Tim Conway's appearance on Match Game and how it perfectly captured the feel of comedy in the 70s. Highly recommend, if you're a fan of him, to check out the article online.
All right, I'll find that. I can't wait to see it. Always fun to talk to you, Alex. We really appreciate it. I know there's a lot going on television, and it's fun to get your perspective. So have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, guys.
Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com. Read him there, Decider.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then a pair of Who tickets can be yours.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah. They're going to be at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on Tuesday night, less than a week away. I was looking at my tickets last night. Pretty excited. We'll give you a chance to win. It's a Live Nation show. You just need to stick around. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. God, this is getting me so psyched for Tuesday night at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. The Who, it's their Moving On 2019 tour, and they will be backed by an orchestra, and I cannot wait to go. We have a pair of tickets to give away.
Yes.
They're going to have to work for it.
Oh, Wendy. Start calling now, everybody. 312-981-7200. You're all eligible, unless, of course, you're in The Who or in Rainwolf. You cannot win.
Can I just tell you about Rainwolf very quickly? And go ahead and call. Jasmine will put you through. 312-981-7200. I stand corrected. Rainwolf is a Canadian indie blues rock band. There's this guy, Jordan Cook.
Yeah, he's in Rainwolf. He's the guy in Rainwolf.
He is kind of Rainwolf.
He's all of Rainwolf.
He plays all these instruments. There are some other band members, but he's kind of like the Canadian Jack White with kind of a distorted blues rock thing. So now
you're excited about Rainwolf.
I'm going early to see Rainwolf.
That's an added bonus.
It's a Live Nation show, and I will be there. Jordan Cook is in Rainwolf. He is Rainwolf.
He is Rainwolf. All right. Here's how this works. It's a game show we invented. It's America's fifth favorite game show, Wendy. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
The
Congrats.
Big, giant, huge celebrity game is America's fifth favorite game show. Here's how it works. I will give two clues about two celebrities that were merging into one. For instance, Wendy, this is one that we played last time. If I said, now keep in mind, everybody, there's two clues, so listen for them and then put them together in your heads. Not only am I the current mayor of Chicago, I was also adopted by Alex Karras and his wife on a TV sitcom.
Can I answer this?
You can absolutely answer it.
Rahm Emanuel Lewis.
Correct. And how did you devise that?
There was a common denominator. Mm-hmm. It's a mashup.
That's exactly what it is. It's a mashup. Not only am I the current mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, I was also adopted by Alex Karras and his wife on a sitcom, Emanuel Lewis, Rahm Emanuel Lewis. It's that simple. So we'll ask a question. Every question is worth 1 point. But if no one gets it on that first round, it's worth 2 points, then three, all the way up to five. Whoever has the highest cumulative score at the end of the game is our winner.
All right. Shall we begin?
Yes.
All right. Tony is the first caller, 312-981-7200. Listeners, if you get a busy signal, keep calling because you may be part of the fun. This is the best game ever invented, by the way.
It's America's fifth favorite.
It's my first favorite.
Oh, thank you, Wendy.
Tony, isn't it your first favorite game?
Yes.
Tony?
Favorite game ever.
Wow. Tony, you understand the rules, right? It's two celebrities mashed into one, which hurts, but that's how the game is played. What can you do?
Okay.
All right. Here goes, Tony. Good luck. One correct answer, and you'll be our leader. This is worth 1 point. Not only have I followed in the footsteps of my comedy idols Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, I also starred on TV's McMillan and Wife. Want to take a guess, Tony? No idea? All right. Well, thank you for playing our game. Go see Rainwolf.
Bill,
I still want people to see Rainwolf.
I'm going early. Thank you, Tony.
Them.
I appreciate it. Right. Does that same question move on to the next person? This
and now
is
it's
Jesse.
Worth 2 points. Jesse, hi. Welcome to the show. Same question.
Hello.
It's worth 2 points. Can you hear us, Jesse?
Yes, I can, sir.
All right. I'll ask you the same exact clue.
Sir,
it's worth...
he's no sir.
I deserve it, Wendy. I've worked hard. All right, here is the clue. Remember, it's two separate celebrities merged into one. Here's your clue. Not only have I followed in the footsteps of my comedy idols Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, I also starred on TV's McMillan and Wife. Who could that be, Jesse?
Chris Rock.
Keep going. There's more to it than that.
There were two names mentioned there.
McMillan and Wife. Rock, Hudson, Tate, no.
Put it
Chris
all together. Put it all together.
It's a mashup, remember? Come on, put down the joint and answer the question.
Rock Hudson.
Judges, what do we do?
You have to say it like our...
It's a 3-point correct answer. So it's one celebrity's name plus the other celebrity's name merged together. What would that be?
Hudson Rock.
Oh,
I can't. Sorry, dude. Nice try.
Sorry,
there's
Jesse.
No way. Come on.
Oh, everything was there. It just wasn't in order.
I know, but you make me be the bad guy all the time.
No, you're the judge. You're the judge.
That is just not acceptable.
You're our Wapner.
Does this move on to Steve?
Yes, and it's now worth 3 points. Steve, I'll ask you the same question. Don't answer yet. Here goes. Remember, it's two celebrities' names merged into one. Not only have I followed in the footsteps of my comedy idols, Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, I also starred on TV's McMillan and Wife. Who would that be?
In fairness, I did know it before last caller, but it's Chris Rock Hudson.
Chris
Amen.
Rock Hudson. Now we're talking. Steve, you're our current leader. You have 3 points. Here's your next question.
I think the game's over. I think that's it. I think we should end it right now.
We're
News
done.
Is coming up or something.
We're done.
Rainwolf rules.
Rainwolf rules. Steve, you have 3 points. This question is worth 1 point. We start over at 1 point. Here goes. Not only did I dance up a storm in Singing in the Rain, I've also hosted a talk show with Regis Philbin, Michael Strahan, and Ryan Seacrest. Who am I?
Is it still me?
Yeah, it's still you.
It's Gene Kelly ripoff.
Yes.
Oh, you are so good.
Steve,
this is the best game ever invented, Bill.
But it's America's fifth favorite,
Wendy. I was going to say a tic-tac-toe is better, but I think this one's better.
This is better. All right. All right, Steve, it's still you. You have 4 points. This one's also worth 1 point. Good luck. Not only did I write Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, I also won 4 Emmy Awards telling Edith to stifle herself.
Oh, God. God, this
you
is
you want to give it a shot?
I know the second part. I don't know the first part.
Oh, don't say any more then, Steve. You'll be helping the others. All right, you have you currently have 4 points, and you're our leader. So
right.
Good luck the rest of the way.
So hang on, and we move on to Tom, who is next in line, 312-981-7200.
Tom, same question, but it's now worth 2 points. Good luck. Not only did I write Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, I also won 4 Emmy Awards telling Edith to stifle herself. Who could that be?
Lewis Carroll O'Connor.
Yes! So good, Tom. Tom, you're halfway to the lead. Steve is our leader with 4 points. You have 2. We'll go on to our next question. It's worth 1 point. Good luck.
Okay.
Not only did I have a total eclipse of the heart in 1983, I also decided to stop playing Medea in 2019. Who would that be?
Oh, boy.
If you get one, usually you can figure out the other.
Yeah.
I can't get the second part.
We have to stop
Sorry,
there.
So we let him go,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not in the
Tom's
running.
Tom's in second place with 2 points. We do have a prize for second place.
Oh, so hang on.
Steve is still our leader with 4.
Okay, I forgot about the second place prize. Kurt has moved into the next running. Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
Kurt, this question is now worth 2 points. Good luck. Not only did I have a total eclipse of the heart in 1983... I also decided to stop playing Medea in 2019. Who would that celebrity be?
Bonnie Tyler Perry.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
I love
this game.
I'm
so proud of you. Kurt, you have 2 points. You're halfway to our leader, Steve. He has 4 points. Here's the next question. Good luck. It's worth 1 point. Not only do you know me for hits like Hit the Road, Jack and Georgia on My Mind, my quote-unquote family knows me for the Tate LaBianca murders.
Ray Charles Manson.
Yes!
You're sick, Bill.
Kurt, yes, I am. I'm not going to deny that. Kurt, you have 3 points. You're 1 point behind in the lead. Is Steve right now with 4, but you're 1 point behind. Here's our next question. You get this one right and you're tied. Good luck. Not only did I star on a sitcom with my real-life dad, Billy Ray, I also invented the Reaper in 1831.
Oh, boy. I don't want to give any part of it away.
No, you shouldn't.
If you don't know it.
No, you shouldn't. All right, you want to take a shot at it or not?
I have no clue.
No? All right, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. All right, you're currently in second place, Kurt. Well played.
All right, hang on, Kurt.
Hold on.
So Tom is no longer in second
Tom
place.
Tom is no longer in the right.
All right,
Steve is our leader with 4.
To Susan. Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Susan, good. We're doing good. Good luck to you. This is now worth 2 points. This is a tough one. Not only did I star on a sitcom with my real-life dad, Billy Ray, I also invented the Reaper in 1831. For 2 points, Susan, who would that be?
And I have half of it, too, and I don't know the Reaper part. I know.
I'm sorry.
I've known every single one up to this point.
I'm sorry. You and I might still go see Rain Wolf some other time, though.
Sorry, okay. Susan.
All right. That'll be fun. All right.
All right. We move on to Patty. Patty, 312-981-7200. Keep calling, people.
Yep. Patty, it's now worth 3 points. If you get this one right, you will just be 1 point away from the lead. Good luck. Not only did I star in a sitcom with my real-life dad, Billy Ray, I also invented the Reaper back in 1831. Who would that be?
Miley Cyrus McCormick.
Yes!
Can I just tell you,
yes,
for some reason, I even remembered it was Cyrus B. McCormick.
Do you? Really?
I don't. There's like one thing I remember from high school right there.
Wow. Wow.
Good job, Patty.
Patty, right now, you're in second place, but only 1 point off our leader, who is Steve. He's got 4. You've got 3. We're going to take a quick break and then continue with our game, the Big, Huge, Giant Celebrity Game, America's fifth favorite talk show, game show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. We got a pair of Who tickets to give to you. They're coming to Chicago on Tuesday. You can see them. All you have to do is win this game, the big, huge, giant celebrity game. That's where two celebrities crash into each other and form one giant, huge, big celebrity, Wendy. Patty's on the line. She is currently tied for second place. She has 3 points. Steve is our leader with 4 points. Whoever has the most points at the end of this round will be our winner. Good luck, everybody. Keep calling 312-981-7200 if you want to get in on the big, huge, giant celebrity game. Patty, here's your second question. If you get this one right, you'll be tied for the lead. Good luck. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here goes. Not only did I excel at action films like The Great Escape, Papillon, and Bullet, I'm also a rap artist who was nominated for an Academy Award as Best Supporting Actress for my work in Chicago. Who would that be?
Oh, God. I know the first one. I don't know.
Don't know?
I don't want to give away the first one.
Oh,
all right. That's smart. Hang on. We do have a... Now, she's tied for second place, correct?
Tied for second place, yes.
All right. Who is next? Kevin, would that be our next contestant? Kevin, we haven't spoken to you before, have we?
No.
All right.
Why is that, Kevin? Why have we not spoken in the past?
I really don't know.
I don't know either. Well, we'll change all that right now. Kevin, here's the clue. If you get this right, it is now worth 2 points. You'll be halfway to the lead. Not only did I excel at action films like The Great Escape, Papillon, and Bullet, I'm also a rap artist who was nominated for an Academy Award as Best Supporting Actress for my work in Chicago. Who would that be?
Again, I've got half of it, but not the other.
Not the other half? All right, well, thank you, Kevin.
Sorry, Kevin.
That's why we haven't talked to him before.
Casey, we haven't talked to you before, have we?
I know.
Okay, well, hi, Casey.
Casey, this is a tough one, but it's now worth 3 points. If you get this right, you're only 1 point away from the lead. Good luck. Not only did I excel at action films like The Great Escape, Papillon, and Bullet, I'm also a rap artist nominated for an Academy Award as Best Supporting Actress for my work in Chicago. Who would that be?
I don't know.
Don't know? All right.
Well, I only know half.
No, everyone's getting half.
I don't think
That's
I know
tough.
Either.
This is a tough one, Wendy. This
All
is
right.
a tough one.
Thank you, Casey. We move on to Sean. There's still an opening, 312-981-7200.
Sean, if you get this right, you'll be tied for the lead. This question is now worth 4 points. Good luck, Sean. Not only did
Thank
I excel
you.
At action films like The Great Escape, Papillon, and Bullet, I'm also a rap artist who had been nominated for an Academy Award as Best Supporting Actress for my work in Chicago. Who is it, Sean?
Steve McQueen Latifah.
Yes! Yes!
Wow!
Sean!
Wow!
So impressed. Sean, that means you have now put yourself in a tie for the lead. If you get one more right, you'll be our current leader. Good luck. This is worth 1 point, but it's enough for the lead. Not only have I written, directed, and starred in comedies like Annie Hall, Midnight in Paris, and Manhattan, I also used to host Password and was married to Betty White.
That would be...
Bill, you sound better the second time around.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, what is your answer?
What is it, Sean?
Woody Allen Funt.
Woody Allen Funt is incorrect. Incorrect. You're tied. You have 4 points. Hold on. We got to go with another contestant.
All right. Hang on a second. Can I just tell you we are almost out of time and we have two people tied for first place?
I know.
How's this going to work?
I don't know.
We may
have to. We might have to bump the Wintrust business lunch. Is that legal? Can we do that?
I'm serious. I don't know how. Do we take the first? Do we take the tied people and then
and put
they
them up against
put them
each
up
other?
Against each other,
Wendy. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh.
All right.
Bill,
so
Mark Goodson and Bill Todman are smiling somewhere. The producers of every game show ever are smiling on you.
All right, Steve. Bill has not thought this through, and quite honestly, it's so fun. I would
Who
like
would
to
have
keep going.
A tie.
Steve is currently tied for the first place for the Who tickets. Correct.
Yes.
And Who?
Yes.
Hang on a second, Steve. And then
Sean is also.
All right. This is what we're going to have to do. You're going to have to explain the rules where they check their buzzers and.
Right. I will ask a question, Steve and Sean, and the first person to buzz in with the correct answer, and remember, the correct answer is the amalgam of two celebrities together. Whoever gets it right is our winner for the Who tickets. Are you both ready?
Yes.
All right, so buzz in by saying your name, either Steve or Sean. Here goes, guys. There's a lot at stake. Good luck. Not only did I play Batman's arch enemy, the Penguin, and Rocky's coach, Mickey, I also played Michael J. Fox's mother on Family Ties.
Steve,
you're first. Good luck.
Burt Meredith Baxter Birdie.
Say that again for us.
Hold on. Burgess Meredith Baxter Birdie.
Burgess Meredith Baxter or Burgess Meredith Baxter Birdie, either are correct.
Steve? Dude, you did it. You're going to see The Who on Tuesday night.
Oh, nice job. I'm shaking. I'm literally shaking.
Oh, my God. Well, I could tell you were a little nervous. Now, Sean, we do have a backup prize for you, if you're cool with
you
that.
You get to be in Rainwolf.
Awesome. No, stop.
No, stop saying that, Wendy.
All right. We have a pair of tickets to Stephen Sondheim's classic musical, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. It's playing at Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. You can get tickets at metropolisarts.com or call 847-577-2121. So hang on, Sean, okay?
Thank you very much.
And Steve, dude,
yes,
you're
Jasmine,
good.
If you want to take Sean and off the air, Steve, you are going to see The Who. I will be there. If you see me, wave. I'll buy you a beer if I can find you.
I'll buy you one, too. We just keep buying each other beers all night. That'd be great.
All right. That'll be cool. It's The Who Moving On 2019 tour. I've been dying to go to this. I bought tickets a long time ago. You have a pair of tickets now, and they have complete with an orchestra behind them. It's a Live Nation show. The show opener is Rainwolf, which now I'm very excited to see. He's kind of like a one-man blues rock funk band, so look up Rainwolf and enjoy your show, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. If you want tickets, LiveNation.com.
Congrats, well played.
You guys, I just want to say really quick, you guys have the best show. You guys make your listeners feel like they're part of the show, and I'm telling you, I listen every day, and I never miss. I listen on a stream, too. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Oh, Steve,
that's
you
so
already
nice.
Won the tickets. You don't have to be so nice.
It's true, though.
Thank you, Steve.
Hang on a second. That is one happy customer, if I can just tell you that.
Good.
Great job, Bill.
Thanks, Wendy. You too. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.